Chapter 27. Monday, August 26th through Saturday, September 14th, 1776. Persons exposed to great danger and hazard removed with all expedition out of the said town, New York, whereas a bombardment and attack may be hourly expected. General George Washington, official handbill issued to New Yorkers in August 1776. The British thrashed the Patriots in a big battle in Brooklyn, thrashed them but good. They killed or captured near 1,000 rebels and sent the rest scurrying away. After the worst of the battle, the skies opened up again and we all waited, us in a house with leaking windows and a damp parlor, the soldiers in open fields and muddy ditches, for the rain to stop. Madam wore a groove in the floor, pacing back and forth, awaiting news of the final British victory, her footsteps tipping and tapping in measure with the ticking of the clock. I poked at the logs in the kitchen hearth, trying to summon back the bees so they would chase out the thoughts invading my brain pan. But the words of the bald man echoed. Would the British truly free me? Should I flee to them? What about Ruth? Would they help me find her? The firewood was wet and green and would not catch. It smoldered and smoked and made a terrible stink. When morning came, a thick fog smothered New York, the kind Mama called a pea souper. When the fog finally lifted, the American army was not to be found. Washington's men had spent the dark night and foggy morning rowing all the troops back to New York Island. Some 9,000 men, folks said. That Washington was a conjure man, for sure. Madam took to her bed when Becky brought back the news. I muttered a quiet blast and continued to eat my dinner, porridge with dried apple. Becky didn't hear me. She was going on and on about the nasty things she'd passed by at the campgrounds. And there was this one lad, ooh, he'd had his hand blown clean off and a grubby bandage wrapped around his wrist. And I looked at that and I said to myself, that arm's coming off next, young man, and maybe your leg for good measure, on account of a noxious pestilence that filled the air. The stench of the place and the groans and moans. She shivered with gruesome delight. If I had a stronger stomach, I'd take a nurse job and help a bit with the washing of the wounds and the like. But with this heat and the flies, you just know the wounds will be maggoty by morning. And if there's one thing I can't abide, it's the sight of maggots and living flesh. I looked in my bowl. The dried apple bits curled like fresh hatched maggots. I stopped eating. Becky ladled out her own meal. They's all saying that this proves the Lord himself is on the side of the rebellion on account of that fog he created. Did the same thing for them back in Boston. Blew in a thick mist so the American army could win the day. It seemed to me that if God really wanted the Americans to win, he would have sent sea monsters to devour the fleet when it left Boston. As I went to empty my porridge into the scraps bucket, Becky pointed to her own bowl. I filled it with my leftovers and commanded my belly to stop flopping so at the sight of the curly apples. Becky paused with her spoon in the air. Makes a body wonder, though. What? I asked. Washington had them melt down the church bells and remake them into cannons. That will surely displease the Lord, I say. If God switches sides and allows the British to take New York, you'll see me headed for Jersey, back pay or no back pay. I'm not sitting here waiting to get carved into pieces by them beastly redcoats. It took me 8 days of slow trips to the market and the water pump before I finally spied Corzine working with other men to set up a filthy tent in the mud of the Battery campgrounds. It was good to see him not dead nor chopped up.